Welcome to the Forward with Purpose podcast. Your hosts are Linda Keener Thomas from the National Memorial for the Unborn and Mindy Lefeshore from An Even Place Virtual Abortion Healing Groups and Coaching for Pro-Life Ministry Workers. We understand the power of addressing the abortion wound, which then allows us to confidently stand in the gap for the next person. We also understand how lonely and heavy this work can be. This podcast is designed to connect you with other leaders doing this work, to learn from the vast wealth of knowledge and experience that is out there. God has designed you for greater things. God has commissioned you to a precious and sacred place in abortion recovery ministry work. It is our hope you are encouraged and equipped as you move forward with purpose in your ministry. Well, hello, everybody. We're back today. And we have Wendy Giancola with us today to talk about her story a little bit and also talk about her book that she wrote for abortion recovery and just another tool for you all to look into and to use and however you wish. And so we're really excited to learn more about why, what brought Wendy to the point of writing this story and how that looked and what makes it unique. So welcome, Wendy.
Thank you very much. It's exciting to be here. Thank you. I'm blessed.
Yeah. So tell us where you're at right now. What's going on with your world right at the moment?
Well, Tropical Storm Debbie is right outside my window, like some of the first lashings of it. So it's raining pretty good. And now it just calmed down, which means another band is coming. So that's exciting.
All right. And you're up in near the capital, right? Of the nation?
Yes. Yes. Right outside of DC. I live in Northern Virginia, but the center that I serve with is actually in Capitol Hill.
Hill. Okay. And you're still serving with that center. Is that
yes,
correct?
Yes.
Okay.
I was
under the impression that you switched and got into this new field that you were in, but I didn't realize you're still there. Okay.
It's a little of both. So a little about my story, maybe, with that.
Yeah.
Help?
Yeah. Why don't you? Yeah.
What's up with this? Let's explain what Mindy and Wendy are talking about.
Yeah.
So my story, of course, anybody's abortion story starts way before where we start with abortion, but right. You know, that's just a lot. So we're not going to go back into that far, but I had an abortion when I was in college and promptly stuffed that down because, mm-hmm. you know, that's what many of us do, stuffed it down. And it was all fine. I thought you just soldier on and keep going like many people do. Stayed with the boyfriend that I had it with, a very twisted, not good relationship, but stayed with him. We ended up getting married, never, ever spoke about it again. And of course, never talked about it with anybody because, you know, it was all fine. And it wasn't until many, many years mm-hmm. later, and I was not a believer at the time, many years later, started coming to Christ. And I say started to because I was slow to coming to Christ. And that weight started to pull on me, realizing what I had done. So I broke down with a dear friend from church and shared it with her. Well, what happened is we went to the same Bible study and my pastor announced that the next group was going to be about the abortion topic, and I lost it. Mm-hmm. I realized I couldn't do it. So I called the woman who was going to speak about abortion to confront her on how dare she talk about mm-hmm. this topic. And she ended up leading me to an abortion recovery study and started walking me through that. She was the director of the Capitol Hill Pregnancy Center, which is where I am. And so I found some healing there. And then from there, did a couple of things, also a retreat, et cetera. And then my husband agreed to go to a retreat with me after he had seen the transformation in me. He went on a retreat with mm-hmm. me. The director at the pregnancy center asked me if I would be willing. I had decided to leave my career for medical reasons, my previous corporate career. And so the director of the center asked me to come on board to work at this, to serve at the center, because by then she knew my story and she knew my healing. And so I began at the center in DC as the director of, well, at the time it was called Director of Abortion Recovery. It grew to become Director of Pregnancy Loss Ministry because we, grew it to encompass other things. And so I've been there 15 years to grow the program and all that. And then my mom passed away a couple of years ago from dementia. And so I just felt strongly led that I needed to take a step back from direct abortion recovery work. And now I work in the field of dementia care, which is a lot, I gotta tell you. So it's a big switch from one to the one end to the other to the life spectrum. But I remained on staff with the Pregnancy Center, very part-time, doing trainings and services, et cetera, not only on the book, but on trauma-informed care.
Oh,
So.
wow. Wow. That is a lot. And I remember in your story, and I'm hoping that maybe we can talk about this at some point. You talked about the value of the retreat that you went to versus doing the book first for you, how you needed what the retreat was offering versus what the book offered for you. And I hope that we can touch on that because you lend a perspective that we don't hear a lot. And yet, I'm sure there's going to be people who are like, first, that are going to hear you, that are listening, going to go, well, that makes sense. Now I understand why, blah, blah, blah. And then also, when they start helping people and they start realizing maybe she needs a different approach first. And so, so before we get into talking about the book and how you got there, would you mind sharing kind of that journey and what that looked like for you?
So the first round of recovery I went through, I'll put it that way, was very heavy scripture based. And for me at the time, I was a relatively new believer and still had a lot of anger issues, and didn't really understand navigating the Bible terribly well. So it was such a scripture heavy laden book that I really surfaced it, and I was still in that place of, just check the right boxes. I wasn't really fully ready, I guess, and understanding. So I didn't really get as much out of it as I would have hoped. Because it was just too much.
Did you
It
know you
was,
were disappointed at the end in somewhat?
I didn't at the time because I really
Okay.
didn't know what I didn't know,
Right,
right? You don't
right.
know what you don't know.
Yeah.
I thought, well, I guess this is what you do, and that's the end of it, So there wasn't really a recognition at the time, but it was other than realizing, I would skip a lot of the questions because it didn't make sense to me, or because it was just too difficult to work through. And I thought, oh, well, no big deal. It's no big deal if I don't do much more than this. And you got to remember, I wasn't really working in a group at the time. It was just myself and occasionally talking to another person.
Okay.
But it wasn't a true one-on-one walkthrough.
Okay.
So then, quite a while later, I did do a group and that made a difference, but it was still very heavy scripture based. And so it was so brain based and head based. And I'm a very heart based, I'm a very much of a heart person. If you do personality test stuff, you'll see I'm much more of a feeler than a thinker. And so the thinking part kept me stuck and I wasn't able to connect further. But then when I did the retreat, and I'm also a very story-based person. I believe God created us to be storytellers, right? If you look, scripture is one big story after another from the Old Testament all the way through, right? Even, Jesus spoke in parables. He taught in story. So story was a big thing for me. And I had already been introduced to some work by a psychologist of the name of Dan Allender, who does a lot of story-based work. And so then when I went to the retreat and it was a little bit more story and it was more interactive and it just wasn't as heady for me, if that makes
Okay.
sense.
And which retreat was that?
It was a Rachel's Vineyard retreat.
Okay.
So that really helped me because, yeah, and I still believe that. And so anyway, that leads to why I ended up writing the book, or what
Yeah,
led
go
me to
ahead.
write it.
Go ahead, Linda.
I think that really underlines well that we need to not be so focused on our program, our study, that we miss what God's doing, that every person is going to process it differently, you know, and especially those of us that have been doing it a long time, we kind of get into our little routine. But to allow the Holy Spirit and just allow maybe a little shortcut or rabbit trail here or there as he opens up things to meet people where they are. I think that's a wonderful underlining of that. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I
So
think it's
yeah,
important
go
to get to
ahead.
know people, to, you know,
Yes.
ask enough questions to know who they are and what they can handle. I think that's the value of an intake, you know, to get to know more of who they are and what's best for them.
Absolutely. So tell us those in, go ahead and tell us about how long was it after Rachel's Vineyard that you decided you were going to write a book? And did it just work that way, or was this something that just happened? Tell us how that kind of came about.
It took a while because I really had no interest in writing anything. You know, I thought, you know, you just do the program thing that you're supposed to do, you know, and there was a curriculum that a lot of people were using, and that's the one I tried to use. But with the clients that we had that we have at the center, it really was not resonating. And I saw time after time, they had the same, even less of an experience than I did. They would open it, they would get through a little bit, and then they'd leave. And this was constant. And I know that's going to happen sometimes, but it was so frequent. And I started asking more questions, and I realized they just couldn't process that. You know, it just wasn't the right thing. So I started searching for something else that would be more user-friendly for them. And I couldn't find anything. I just couldn't find it. I mean, I went to every concert in the or every conference in the world. I went to various different centers trying to find other options and couldn't find anything that I felt would really fit. And I also had my own personal background in the mental health field, my own years of being in therapy, my own background that I was bringing to the table as well. And like I said, the story part all was important to me. And so I couldn't find anything else. And so at a conference, my boss and I received a prophecy from an attendee. Well, we just received words from an attendee that that's a material would come from our center. And I listened, but then looked at my boss and said, good luck with that. Because I was not going to be the one to do it. It wasn't going to be me writing it. And she said, are you sure it's not supposed to be you? I'm like, yeah, I'm not doing it. I was very much a Jonah. And then a while later, another woman came to our center that we never knew before. And same thing, she kind of didn't even know us and started praying with us and telling us that that was going to happen. And I thought, okay. And she this time she looked specifically at me and said all these things. Like, okay, this is getting a little bit much. Prayed about it a little bit more and realized I guess it's supposed to be me. And then 1 week later, I had a car accident. And so I was stuck at home for 5 months. So what do you do when you're stuck at home for 5 months? You start reading and
God
researching.
can't hit us over the head, can't he?
No. So yeah, I was the Jonah. So I just started reading and researching even more. And my intention was to just write something for our center. It really was just for our center. It was for me to use, me and volunteers to use at our center. That's all I wanted it to be. That's all I intended it to be. You know, and it came together little by little, very slowly, as you know, and you just try it and it was working, and you try it and it was working better than anything else we had used. And eventually, my director said, I think we should consider publishing. You know, okay. Then we went down that track.
And when
So,
was
yeah.
that? What year was that you published?
20, oh my gosh, 18?
Okay.
How sad is that? I don't even
So it's been out
remember.
there a few years.
Well,
It's
you've
been out there
slept
a
a
few
little
years now.
since then. I
Yeah,
mean,
20.
you weren't intending on writing this book, you know. You're just intending on doing it for your center, so I don't think you're holding on to that as like a pride point. You know, guess what I've done? Yeah, you're
No,
not
I'm
really holding on to
not.
that.
It's really, it really was just supposed to be for our center. I had no, I mean, when she said we should publish it, I'm like, I don't think so. Because I thought, I don't know how to do that. And I knew myself well enough that I'm like, well, that means she would want, you know, like, how do you find a publisher? I'm like, I'm not looking for a publisher myself. And she doesn't have the time. And I'm not gonna self-publish on Amazon. That just seemed like a lot. And so, no, it's not going to happen, is what my intention was. And then there's God again. And at one of our banquets, a gentleman who was a publisher with National Geographic, formerly, went up to my director and said, "You know, I want to give more to the center than just money. I want to give my time and talents, but I don't know what that means. I just feel like God's really nudging me to give my time and talent to you, and I don't know what that means because I'm a publisher." And she said, "I know exactly what that means.
Oh, wow.
Go talk
I
to
love
Wendy."
that. That is
So
awesome.
he just, you know, he kind of became the book packager because, you know, we all agreed that it would be published by, you know, it would be under the CHPC, but he kind of helped pull everything together, got all the professionals together to create and design the whole thing.
Wow.
So it was quite a process.
That's
And every
beautiful,
book
really.
sale goes, any proceeds for the book sales go directly to the pregnancy center
Oh.
because it was for the center, through the center. So everything goes to the center. I don't get any of it. So, no, it's not a pride point because
Yeah,
I don't
that's
get a
ex
penny. People are like, "Oh, wow, you can make money." I'm like, "No, I can't." Because
Wow.
I chose to give that away.
Yeah, I love
I
that.
wish we were on video so we could show the cover, but go ahead and tell us the name and a little bit more about the study itself.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's called Transforming Your Story, A Path to Healing After Abortion. And it's got what I think is a very pretty butterfly on the front cover. There was a cover designer, but I insisted on a butterfly. But I didn't design it. And I really like to call it a guidebook because, again, for me, my own experience was I needed guidance because the term Bible study for me had sort of a negative connotation in my head for a long time because it was so, again, heady. And here's a scripture, what does it say? Here's a scripture, what does it say? Right? It wasn't really delving into the person's story. And again, I knew from my own personal work in my life that I needed to delve into the story. And I also learned that in scripture, just random scriptures pulled out of context, they weren't helpful for me. Stories, the stories in the Bible were what were helpful. And to be honest, when I first wrote it, I didn't really want to include much scripture. I didn't. And I tried to get away from it, but God again kept pushing it so that I couldn't get away from it. But it's all very, very story based. So every chapter, you know, the focus is on various stories of the Bible and delving into those stories and how do we see our own story in that story, like highlighting some things from the story that also highlight our own story to really make somebody look at their own story. And in between each chapter is a woman who's gone through healing, her real story. And maybe not her full story, but her experience with certain topics. So these are real life women who went through the process with me before it was ever published, obviously, and chose to write of their own experience for the purpose of the book because I feel story is so important. And I really felt strongly that we needed to have a cacophony of various voices and not just my story, because not everybody's going to resonate with my story.
Right.
So if I share only my story, you know, Mindy may say, "Well, that doesn't resonate with me at all," because we're two very different people. But if you hear a variety of voices, then you may hear something that kind of goes, oh, I can relate to that. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. And I think that when you think about it, the variety of voices is what we need, especially in our culture, because we don't hear people talk about this. So it opens us up to the idea that, okay, I'm not the only one. You and I are not the only one. There's many, and I think other writers are doing that too. They're putting other people's stories in their books, and I think it's really good, whether it's a study or or just sharing their story and then telling other people's stories as well. I want to go back to you when sort of the what you needed was you talk about the stories. I'm trying to figure out how to ask this question. So you talked about it was real heady. The other Bible study was real heady, and it's not where you were at the time. You needed it to be more heart. So when in the book, I'm assuming you're asking questions for them to think and do some introspection and reflection and all of this stuff. So if they're not centered around heady kind of what are those questions looking like? So it's a little gives us helps us understand what's different.
Yeah, the questions are really much more focused on their own story and what
Okay.
they're feeling inside. You know,
Okay.
it's a combination of feeling and thinking kind of questions,
Okay.
right? And also in every chapter includes a hands-on activity of some sort. And part of this is because again, I shared my own story and we've learned so much more now than what I knew when I wrote the book. And so, to be honest, I would make tweaks to it now if I could. But, the brain receives, and the brain and the, we need to include the body. I'll just put it that way, right? We
Okay.
need to include a holistic person, right? We need to include the brain, the body, and the heart in order to heal, right? We have to integrate because the trauma of abortion fragments, just there's various life trauma fragments. Okay. And so we need to involve all three. And so in the book, there's like more of the feeler questions, more of the thinker questions, and there's bodily activities to kind of help bring some of that together so that all three pieces are touched in some way, shape, or form.
Okay.
So is that if that makes sense?
Can you give us an example? One or two examples
Of what
of the
specifically? The
bottle,
body.
the yeah, what those body exercises or whatever that you were doing in there looks like.
Yeah, it depends really on what it is, but for
Sure.
example, and sometimes it's involving the story that we've reviewed in that particular chapter, right? So, just for example, with Grace, one of the stories we review is of course the prodigal, right? Because how do you not? And so one of the bodily activities is, and it just really depends because I really encourage people to, here's one suggestion, but really do what works, what you feel the Holy Spirit leading you to do. But it's some form of acknowledging that for people who feel a sense of they were a prodigal, maybe doing a ring. Providing them a ring and doing sort of a little ceremonial thing with them. Another thing that we do in the Grace chapter, no, that's a different chapter, sorry. I'm sorry, I'm trying to remember which is which.
Okay.
But if that makes sense, but maybe sometimes doing it, and it's not always based on the story. So for like with shame, because back when I wrote it, a lot of the other curriculums that were out there, the order of the chapters had forgiveness following right after anger. Well, that really did not work for me at all. And I have a 12-step background as well. And in the 12 steps, you have your anger piece, and you have to go through some other things before you can get to forgiveness. And I think that's true of many of us. We need to name and process that anger before we can forgive. And so having the forgiveness directly after the anger really didn't work for me. And so I, in that respect, I kind of followed the 12-step model of we need to have something in between before I can actually forgive somebody. And so there's a whole chapter on, and so there's a chapter on, so there's the anger chapter, but then I break it up with then the shame, because where there's shame, where there's blame, there's shame. So we have to address both. And so in the shame chapter, for example, one of the activity possibilities is to build a shame wall, where like you build a wall with all the lies, right? So you actually can physically see it. We use Duplo blocks. And then you get to tear it down. And then you rebuild it with the truth words. So it, because if we start trying to nail in the lies and the truth too early, it doesn't sink in. If we do that without addressing the heart and body, it's not going to stick. And so some of those other studies were, so when I said we're heady, it would drive in those lie and truth nails, but emotionally and physically, I wasn't ready to receive it. So the activity combines those things so that it can be more, it's more likely to be received. No guarantees, right? But that's,
Well,
you
yeah,
know.
and everybody processes so different, but I love that
Exactly.
idea, and I'm still thinking about the ring. So I like this whole idea of building a shame wall, tearing it down, and building a truth wall. I love that. I mean, we do virtual groups. I don't know how in the world you do that, but I just love the idea of that. But the prodigal and the ring, and I'm if okay, I haven't read The Prodigal Son in the last couple of days, so I'm assuming that if I'm remembering correctly, he puts a ring on his finger when he returns. They kill the fatted calf, and that okay. So when you're doing that, do you have a ring that you're actually physically putting on them, and how is that like a ceremony kind of a thing for the
It just
ladies?
depends. Yeah, and you know, you can find stretch rings, especially now, pretty cheap on Amazon. And you can get it, you know, there's fake crystal ones that are stretch rings. There's not latex, that other. Anyway, it's
Silicone.
real silicone. Thank you.
Okay.
The silicone rings. And sometimes I will put it on them, or I will just hand them like a box or something with it
Okay.
and invite them to take it. And what I often prefer to do when it comes to grace is, you know, great, God's grace is always there, but sometimes we have struggled to pick it up and receive it. And so I don't give them that ring until they're really, until they say they want to and they're ready to. Like, I will have maybe a gift box there and let them know that the grace is there. If they're ready to receive it, I often put the boxes on a table with the names of the participants and tell them, if you're ready to receive it, go pick it up. Because that's another physical act
Love
where they
that.
have to actually physically take it and truly receive it. Because I think it can be, again, in my journey, it was easy to say, okay, yes, I want grace. But did I really grasp what I was saying yes to? Not really.
And that is a process. I mean, we're always growing in that understanding, right? So when you've got a bunch of heavy emotions weighted on you and confused and all wrapped up in a tangled mess, those are hard. It's hard to see grace through that.
And that's why we process emotions before we even get to the truth of grace. We have to start processing some of those emotions before we can get to grace. And then we gain enough understanding that we can actually offer forgiveness.
So the book is how many chapters, and you are doing it in an in-person format? Does the book include like some of these object lessons and things are actually in the book, or is that stuff you've added?
Yeah, so the book itself is, it's an introduction and then eight more chapters. And I've done it in person, you know, before COVID, it was always done in person. But yes, the book was written so that if a person was on their own and just picked it up, they could go through it It encourages you to have at least one trusted friend to walk through it with you. So it has some examples and ideas of activities. But, my leader's guide suggests that, again, do what the Holy Spirit leads you to do, because he may give you a much better idea for this particular group or this particular person than what's in the book. Because, what's in the book may not fit everybody. So it can't, so there's ideas in there, but again, I suggest, you look at other options as well.
Do you find that this study
So there is a
is for a particular audience? Like it, do you think it works, or does it work best for like those who are raw in their emotions, like we within the last 2 years, or those who have been sitting in the church for 10, 15 years? Or is it kind of, do you think it helps with all those ranges?
I've used it with a variety of different people with different ranges. I think, it goes back to what we talked about in the very beginning. You have to kind of get to know the person a little bit more before you can really determine what's the best thing for that person, And so sometimes it's been somebody who's a little bit newer, and sometimes it's somebody who has been many, many years. It just depends on the person. I don't know if that helps at
Oh
all.
yeah. No, I just kind of wanted to kind of get your idea of like, or see what you've been using it, how you've been using it, and
And I use other studies. I still use other curriculums and other formats as well, because I think it's, again, important to do what's best for the person. It's not what's best for and the easiest for me or us as a group of volunteers, but what's best for that particular person.
Well, thank you for coming on and spending some time with us and sharing about your study. And I do hope that more people will check into Transforming Your Story. And Transforming Your Story has a leader guide, correct?
Yes, it's called the Facilitator's Companion. And I still do, I offer training. And oh, I know, Linda, you asked if it was in person or virtual, but I've also done virtual. Starting in COVID, we also worked at virtual. So I did come up with a variety of different ways to do it, to do the activities virtually, but that requires people to use their camera.
Well, and most, I don't know about anybody else, but I always require that everybody's on camera because that
I
helps
do.
create comfortableness.
Yeah. Well, and plus, if you're doing trauma-informed care, you really need that camera on because you need to see the person and what's happening within them so that you can address what's happening with them, right? So I really require a camera. So yes, but it can be done virtually. It's just not as ideal. It's so much better in person, especially if you're doing trauma-informed work. It's much better in person so that you can, sense the, do some co-regulation, and that's a whole other story. A whole other track to go on. But, and I still do offer trainings on the book and the guidebook. And when I do offer my training, I do it in a trauma-informed way. I talk about the importance of trauma-informed care, and I add how to address that within various different pieces and sections of the book, because I think it's important. I mean, if I could go back, there are certain areas of the book I would tweak. I mean, I'll tell you that there's certain things that I would tweak now that we didn't know then that we know now. But that takes a lot of money and time to do that,
And your
but
training, is it virtual or in person, or is it both?
I do both. I do both.
Both.
I did an in-person. In-person's always better, in my opinion, just for a variety of different reasons. Again, part mainly because then you can do the activities and stuff much better. So I did an in-person last a couple of months ago. I think, Mindy, I told you about it in Kentucky, but I'm doing a virtual one for a group in Ohio next month.
Oh, you are. I did not know about that. Is that the AR Advocates group?
No, it's just a center asked me to do it.
Oh, nice. Well, and so is there a fee for when you do the training? And they can contact you to find out what that fee is. And then also on the virtual, you said you had to adapt some of the lessons in the book to do virtual. Would it be beneficial to maybe come back and do that another session on that so people can hear how you've adapted some of those? Or what do you think? Because I'm curious about it. your
Well, and
lessons.
it's really just the make it personal pieces, the bodily parts pieces that I
Right.
modified.
Right.
And it differs from one chapter to the next.
Okay.
So, I mean, I think it probably rather than take up a whole podcast for that, I can talk to you about that on the side. And then if you feel
Okay.
you want to do a podcast on that, that's, okay with me.
Okay. And then do you have those like written down so that they can go when you're training people, they have like a PDF and go, they can refer back to those lessons on how to do those things?
I have to try to remember.
Okay. I kind of put you on the spot. So I'm so
I'm so
sorry.
used to just doing it. I'm like, I
Yeah.
don't know. Do I have those written down?
Okay. Just curious. Well, I know your time is short and your time is valuable. And I am so thankful for having you on and just spending a little more time with you. So I appreciate that. And
Absolutely. And
unless
if
you have
anybody
any,
wants to reach me,
yeah.
should I have, do you give my contact information?
I will put it in the show notes if you want.
Okay, just in case anybody has any questions.
Yeah. So go ahead and tell us your email and then
It's
I
easy.
can.
It's Wendy at CHPC dot US.
Okay. And that's Wendy with an E.
That is easy.
Wendy
Okay.
at
Perfect. And I'll put that in the show
CHPC.us.
notes as well so people can.
Transforming Your Story. It can also be found on Amazon if people want to look at it, or transformingyourstory.org.
Oh, okay.
Okay, website. Great.
I did not know you had a website. That's great. All
There's
right,
not much on
Wendy.
it.
Well, we're going to pray that Hurricane Debbie doesn't do any damage for you guys and you have a safe trip into work because I know you're headed back and that you have a good time
And
at
thank you
your
for being faithful
tropical
to what
event.
God called you to do, even if he had to hit you over the head to get you
Yep,
there.
yep.
Thank
It
you for your
did. And
faithfulness.
if I can just thank you, especially Linda, I will just share really briefly, if I may, that one of the things that was very helpful to me in my healing, to my husband and I in our healing, was we did get a plaque at the Memorial for the Unborn way before it was virtual. And we were blessed enough to be able to go there. And her plaque was ready the day we arrived. So we were able to choose where to place it in person, which was extremely special for us.
Yes.
So thank you for
Yes.
what you
It's
did to
wonderful.
start that.
Yes.
Thanks.
That's special. That's really sweet. I really hate to interrupt that beautiful little moment, but I want to ask you one quick question before we get off. I just want you to share with us how you relax and unwind.
Because you love this, because I talk about something that
Yes.
tender and to go to. My favorite thing to do is when there's not a tropical storm is my husband and I ride. Well, he drives the motorcycle. I just ride in the back. I just love motorcycle riding.
Oh, that's
It's
fun.
such a way to relax to me because, all of your senses are going. It's quiet, except for the hum of the engine. You see the beauty of that God has given us. You can smell the smell that God has given us, and it's just, I love it.
That's beautiful. It makes me want to get a bike, but I won't. All right, Wendy, you have a great
Thank you
evening.
so much, Wendy.
Have a very blessed evening, ladies.